Come to the 64th annual OA birthday party. Together we get better. In person on January 12th to the 14th at the LAX Hilton in Los Angeles, California. Meet fellows from across the globe for a weekend-long extravaganza of workshops, panels, special interest speakers, food, entertainment, fellowship, laughs, and recovery. Highlights include body image workshop, big book study, sober eating workshop, keynote speakers with unique stories covering all aspects of eating disorders, dance party and comedy show, yoga and meditation, meetings and meetups in LGBTQIA, BIPOC, Spanish language, young people, and AAPI members, boutique, shop till you drop, and much, much more. Registration is now open at oabirthday.com. Staying the night? Book your room now at the discounted rate through the oabirthday.com website. Act fast. Rooms sell out quickly. Why? There is a solution. You'll hear from speakers who have various versions of this disease who live happy, joyous, and free. Because together, we get better.
Welcome to the OA Virtual Kitchen Sink Meeting Podcast. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup at oalaig.org. for information on how to join our meeting live and how to donate to support this meeting and our podcasts. The opinions expressed on the Kitchen Sink podcast are those of the individual speakers and do not represent OA as a whole. And now, our speaker.
Good morning. My name is Teresa B. from New Jersey, and I'm a compulsive overeater and bulimic. And I qualify as a compulsive overeater because throughout my life, I have dealt with gaining and losing in excess of 100 pounds throughout my life. And I had behaviors that always led me to problems with the food that related to me bringing the food back up and having several issues, intestinal issues, because of the choices I made, as well as health issues. So that's how I qualify, because I have always been someone that was never considered to be at a healthy weight. I was always somebody that was considered beyond the normal size. So that's my qualification. And I'm 485 days in abstinence right now. And my journey began 54 years. Although I was born a preemie, only 2 pounds and 11 ounces, my relationship with food did not keep me at that size. It did not keep me at a normal size. So by the time that I was 12 years old, I was already wearing a size 12 adult size clothes at 12 years of age. So, and even then, my family and I did not realize that Teresa had a problem with food. They saw nothing wrong with me coming home from school and eating a whole box of Captain Crunch berries. They did not see anything wrong with me eating a whole pack of cookies every day after school. And I did this every day after school while I was watching cartoons, and I did my homework, and then I was ready for dinner. So that by the time I entered college, I was skipping meals. I was skimming off of the different things that I found at the cafeterias, different things I had stashed in my dorm room. And I substituted regular food for sweets. Sweets is my Achilles heel. Anything with sugar in it, I would make sure that it found its way to my mouth. Anything that was high in fat, I made sure it found its way to my mouth. So I substituted regular food for anything that had sugar in it. And I justified that I needed that sugar because I was studying. So in order to study, I needed my sugary items. So throughout my 20s, I went up and down the weight, up and down the weight. I was always functioning in life like a little go up and down, up and down, up and down, until I was 300 pounds. And by the time I was 300 pounds, I had type 2 diabetes. I had arthritis in all of my joints to such an extent that I couldn't even move, that I eventually opted to have the gastric bypass because I had already tried everything there was out there. I've tried Weight Watch. I tried Joint Crate. I tried to despite everything that I tried out there in the world, nothing worked. Nothing worked. And again, Teresa was determined to find something that was easy. I wanted to find a quick solution. I didn't want to do the work. And so I opted to have the gastric bypass. And yes, the weight came off. The weight came off. I went from 300 pounds to 123 pounds. I went to basically like 2% body fat. And when I realized at that point, I wasn't happy. I did not feel any happiness. I wasn't happy about my marriage. I wasn't happy about my children. I was always perceived to be the very best at everything. And the only way that I could quantify myself as somebody that was worthy, somebody that was valuable, was by being the best. So I worked hard. So eventually, Teresa found out how to work around the gastric bypass. And I realized that if I ate the things I was not supposed to eat, like the sugar and the high fat foods, that I could bring it back up. That I was filled with such remorse and such disappointment in myself that I put it up willfully and caused a lot of damage to my esophagus and my intestinal area. Then this continued from 2006 all the way up until 2023 until finally I said, something has to change. I don't know why I'm doing this. I had to actually get down to my ground. I had to realize that things needed to change and walk. I kept falling, and I did not know why. I couldn't get up because I was too heavy to get up, and my legs and my joints were in too much pain, and my muscles were too weak to lift myself up. That even a 9-year-old little boy running down the hallway to lift up a teacher off the floor, and he couldn't get me up, and I was filled with embarrassment that I asked him to go get a chair that I can push to the wall to get myself up, that I realized that it could change. And so Teresa decided to find out what her great friend was raving about in the groups. But then she said that these people in these groups were beautiful and they understood her. And I said, what are you talking about? She said, come to the meeting. So over 18 months ago, I came to the meeting and I realized that I am one of them. I realized that I had what they had, that I was an impulsive overeater. So what I realized when I heard the story was said in Bill's story, and I told the person, my friend from the fellowship, I said, I need to read this story for myself. I need to gain understanding. And when I read Bill's story, it brought such joy to my heart, such joy to my spirit, that finally I had the answer.
So again, I attended that meeting, and in that meeting, they were on pages 14 talking about Bill's story. I left the meeting, and I asked my friend to send me Bill's story. I didn't have an AA big book at the time, and I told her that I needed to read Bill's story. And when I read Bill's story, tears started to flow from my eyes, and my heart started to fill with joy, because finally I had an answer that I had not had all of my life. I had an answer to what my problem was. And I realized at that moment, it was like a light bulb went off my head that I was a compulsive overeater. And I was instructed that I had to find a sponsor and I needed to be abstinent. And I could not start the work of the steps until I was 48 hours abstinent. That means that I was free from any type of sugar or fatty foods and flour. So that began my journey over 400 days ago. And what I realized is that the most important thing with my work with steps, I had to really accept all the way down in my heart, all the way down in my soul, that I was a compulsive overeater. Because if I did not accept that I had what everyone else had, that I was a compulsive overeater, then the work of the steps would not work. And that I would stay blocked from building my relationship with my higher power. And that was the solution to my problem. I needed to build a relationship with a power greater than myself. And it is only when I was able to build that relationship that I was able to release my ego and allow my higher power to lead me. And what I have discovered by that acceptance and by that total surrender and by my daily work of prayer and meditation and reading my big book and working with others, that I am able to live a life of peace and freedom now. I am no longer living in fear. And I'm not saying that moments of fear do not arise, but then I use my 10 steps. And I like to use side roof to analyze my feelings when I have them. When I am dealing with a situation and I start to feel any type of strong emotion, I go right away and I do a 10 step to acknowledge that feeling, because my higher power does not want me to deny that I have feelings, deny that I might have resentment that come up, deny that I might have a fear that came up, deny that I might be feeling some dishonesty about something or some fear. My higher power wants me to feel it. My higher power wants me to be able to understand and deal with it right then and there, so that I don't get caught up in remorse, reflection, so that I don't become blocked from my relationship with my higher power. So this has been my experience, and this is my share, that the work of the steps is one of the greatest blessings in my life, because it allowed me to transform and be more of the person that my higher power has placed me on this earth to be. And I realized today that when I am strong in my relationship with my higher power, fear cannot overcome me. When I am strong in my relationship with my higher power, I am not holding on to resentments, which is my past. I am not holding on to the fears, which is my present, that I'm able to walk forward in partnership with my higher power. So the work of the steps is, I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. It's going to be one of the most painful things that you have done. I've never cried so much as I did when I did my 4-step inventories. But in the process of doing those inventories, I went through a process of self-discovery. I now know who I am at 54 years of old. I now know who I was at 53 years of age. I did not know who I was, and I was not connected with myself emotionally before I did the work of the steps. So that is the greatest blessing of the work with the steps, that we're able to be able to feel good emotions. We're able to experience life to the fullest that we can experience it. And we're able to not become overwhelmed with things of this world and know that we cannot control the world. That is our higher power that is controlling the world. And all we are beings in the world, and we need to allow higher power to guide our words and our actions and let everything else go. We cannot allow ourselves to be concerned with things of the world. We need to be concerned with what we can do today to help others. And if you are working in your 12 steps, your 10, 11, and 12 are the most important steps after step one. And step one is believing that you have the problem and accepting that you have that problem. And then step two is believing that there's a power greater than yourself. Three is when you're ready now to surrender. You're ready now to surrender your will. And in my opinion, 1, 2, 3, 10, 11, and 12 are the most important steps in the 12-step program. So if you are a newcomer to the fellowship, I'm going to tell you to keep coming back. Keep coming until you're ready. Don't give up. Keep coming back, keep listening, keep asking questions, keep reaching out, making those outreach calls, keep asking for people to be a part of your God squad, because I'm telling you, it is an amazing experience. And I would share this with anyone, that that if you want to have a life of peace and freedom, that's what you have to do, to build your relationship with your higher power. Because our problem is not the problem with the food. Our problem is the problem with our emotions. We are not emotional mature. And I'm serious. I am not emotional secure. Everything was always somebody else's problem, someone else's fault. Teresa never took the responsibility for anything. And I had a part in everything. I had a part in everything that I was feeling, everything that I was holding on to. And that's what kept me from having true joy, true happiness. Because right now I'm not living for happiness. I'm living for the joy of every day. I'm living for the joy of my higher power saying, job well done, Teresa. And that's what I want to share with you today. Continue to do the work. Continue to build your relationship. Do your prayer and meditation and reach out when you need help. The beauty of the 10 step and 11 step and 12 step cannot be underestimated. Use the tools. That is the message that I want to let you know. And always, always have faith in acceptance. And with that, I pass. This is the time for questions only. There is no sharing at this meeting. If you need to share, please do so with any one of us after the meeting. Also, please remember that the opinions of the leader are my own and not those of Overeater Anonymous as a whole. When asking questions, you need not to identify yourself. If you asked a question last week, please wait until the first three questions have been asked before raising your hand. If you have a question, please click the raise your hand icon.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Teresa, thank you for your beautiful, heartfelt share. That was lovely. Can you share with us on a daily basis what you do to connect with your higher power? Thank you.
Upon waking up, I thank my higher power for blessing me with the gift of seeing another day. And I start off right away with my a morning scripture, and that's for 10 minutes. And after my morning scripture, I go right into a 10-minute meditation, guided meditation. And then after my guided meditation, I have 10 minutes of journal writing. And then after the 10 minutes of journal writing, I'll go and join, I'll either go and join an OA meeting, or I'll listen to a podcast. And if you want the podcast, I can send it to you in the message. It is a Christian podcast. So I do all of it every morning before I even go into the bathroom to take care of my daily needs. That is what I do every morning to start my day. And in addition to the scripture prayers I say, I always say the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer. And throughout my day, I repeat the third step prayer throughout my day. I'm a teacher by profession, so I alerted my students in the classroom that if you hear Mrs. Butler saying something about God or whatever, that's just Mrs. Butler just thanking God for the day. I said, don't think that your teacher has a situation. That is just me reconnecting with my father every day. And then after I'm off of work, I do another meditation and I join another meeting. And then before I go to bed, I do my final prayer and meditation, and I finish up the day with my 11 step reflection. And between the time of myself awakening and going to bed, if I have any situations where I start to feel any type of strong emotion, especially a negative emotion, I stop right away and I pause and I think about it. Why am I feeling this way? And then I do a 10 step. I call somebody up right away and ask them, can I do a 10 step with them? Because I want to give it away, because I don't want to hold on to it and go and do service with someone else. And part of my work during the day is to also to do work with others. So it brings me so much joy to work with my sponsees, to read the big book, and to be able to share the blessing that is in the words of the AA big book.
Thank you so much. And I see Bob M.
Yes, thank you again for your share. Can you tell us what happens when you get a desire for food or the craving comes in now?
When I do get a desire to have something sugary, I stop and I do the third step prayer, that it is His will and not my will. And I ask God to show me what emotion I am feeling, to allow me to be honest and to acknowledge what feeling I'm feeling. Because if I am having that desire to have something that is harmful to me, and it's harmful to me because my body has a bad reaction to it. Once I have it, it triggers that physical response. And then I will not be able to resist it moving forward. So I pause and I ask God to show me what is going on. And when I do that, that takes me away from the desire to want to eat it. And if I have the ability to be able to join a meeting, I join a meeting, it'll go make a call to someone else, because I need to be able to distract my mind so that my desire to have that, those addictive items goes away, and you'll be amazed at how fast it goes away when you are being in service to someone else.
Thank you so much. Kathy?
Thank you so much for your share, Teresa. I really appreciated it. I wonder if you could talk about how your relationships with your closest family members have been impacted in these last 18 months?
I am always going to be 100% transparent. Before my work of the steps, I was like a tyrant in the house. I was like the queen of hearts. that if my children said something that I did not think that was pleasing, that was not according to what I wanted them to say, it was like they was going to get the hurricane coming for them. But my children are amazed. Most of my amends had to be given to my family members and my children and my husband. And I was amazed and cried with each amends that I had to do with my ninth step, because that was the first time in my life that I was completely honest. And I acknowledged that I had faults, because I was a person always walking around and said, I'm perfect. I don't have anything wrong with me. It's something wrong with everyone else. And my children said, Mom, they said, they responded that, Mom, we are shocked. They told me that they were shocked that they're able to come and talk to me about things that they've never been able to talk to me about before, that they're able to come to me with a problem and I'm not ready to bark an order or bend them to my will. They said, Mom, we are amazed that you're able to give us answers that are open and are considerate, and that you're not responding with yelling and screaming, that you're responding with kindness and understanding and support. And a prime example of that, I'm going to share something personal, is that my youngest daughter came to me on her 19th birthday, and she told me that that she was bisexual, and she was afraid to tell me that, and I told her, it is okay. I said, you are who God made you to be, and I will be there to support you in any way that I can. And I said, your choice that you are just telling me right now does not change who you are. You are still my beautiful daughter. You are still somebody that is loved by God, somebody that God can be instrumental in your life, and it is okay. I will be there to hold your hand through every step of your life as long as I'm here, and I love you still. That doesn't change that I love you. So that is an example of how my relationship has changed with my children and with my sister. We've always had like a yin and yang type of relationship. My sister sends me messages that I am the greatest inspiration to her now, because we talk on the phone, we read scripture together, we do meditation together, we attend church together. And my sister said that I am a great role model to her, because I am leading, I mean, holding her hand and putting her hand on the doorknob to a higher power. So that is an example of how the relationships are now. They are not fearful of me anymore. They know that I'm going to be loving, not perfect always, but I am going to be loving and supportive. And when I'm not perfect, because I'm not perfect, I'm going to apologize when I make a mistake. Because that is part of the process of this transformation. You can be willing to apologize when you are incorrect, when you are not doing what your higher power had wanted you to do.
Thank you so much, Teresa. And I see Frank.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Teresa. Wow, what an incredible share. And boy, what a great use of the tools of the program, and how adept you were from transitioning over to some compromised technical challenges on the phone without missing a beat. That was just beautiful, and shows us how you have really latched onto this program. I wanted to ask you, my original question had to do with how you have used the tools of the program in other areas of your life, but you pretty much answered that in the previous question. So I will ask you this. Those of you that are here, I do ask this question a lot, but it's always applicable. What areas, or let's say character defects specifically, are you surprised that your higher power has relinquished or minimized? And what are you surprised that haven't been taken away? And what do you look forward to in that area?
Okay. The greatest defect of my higher power is taken away is my desire to want to control everything. And my desire to control everything was related to my character defect of me feeling like I am not enough, that I am not worthy, that I'm not deserving of being loved. And through the work of the steps and through my daily work with others, I have transformed it. Now I just let everything flow. I let everything flow, because we're all moving in this world, and things are just situations. And like all situations, things change. The only thing that needs to stay constant in my life is my work that I have to do to move closer in my relationship with my higher power and to be of service to others. So that is the first defect that minimized in me. My second one that minimized in me is my defect of being judgmental. I had the bad habit of always judging what others did and deciding that I did not want to deal with them, or I was going to close myself off to them because I did not like some of the things that they did or some of the things that they chose. And I am now willing to say, it is okay. It is okay. What we need you to do is to lean on your higher power. That is the only person that can help you out. You need to lean on the being that you see as your higher power. It does not have to be my God. It does not have to be anyone else's God. It just has to be somebody that you believe that is there, that is all powerful, that can guide you in the right way. So those were my two strongest defects that I needed control. And if I did not have control, you actually received the anger. You received the sarcastic comments. You received the restrictiveness. So I am not that person anymore. I am a person that just goes with the flow. And I am a testament that when your higher power reduces those strong defects or eliminates them, you're going to feel such a weight off of your heart, off of your spirit. And you're going to wake up every day feeling hopeful. Being filled with all about what your higher power has planned for you that day, and you're going to be much more willing to do the work. You're much going to be much more willing. So someone mentioned how I had the technical issues. The old Teresa, when I had this technical issues, probably would have taken this phone and thrown it somewhere. And I probably would have been pacing in the house, yelling and screaming because I could not control the device. But oh, well, sometimes things happen. And things happen sometimes, and time is always moving. Things are always moving. It is always an alternative. And it is not worth me giving that energy to. God needs my energy for something else.
Thank you so much. Pamela.
Thank you. And thank you, Teresa, for your remarkable share. You mentioned the 10th step a couple of times. Could you share how you work that? Do you do a formal written 10th step at night? I know you mentioned calling someone and giving it away right away.
So a 10th step is something that should be quick. So a 10th step is not you giving your long, drawn-out story. A 10th step is exactly what it is. What is the situation? In that situation, where were you selfish? Where were you dishonest? Where were you fearful? And again, selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Those are the four components. Those are the four strongest impediments to our relationship, to what our higher power. And it is those four things that will drive us back to the food or drive us back to our addictions if we hold on to them. So when a situation comes up and you start to feel any type of strong emotion towards it, any second thought to it, don't disregard it. Because if you're doing a second thought towards it, that means that you have some type of emotional connection to whatever happened. You need to acknowledge it. You need to acknowledge it. And you need to give it away, because it is only in the process of acknowledging and giving away that you're able to release yourself from it. Because we don't want to hold on to things inside of us. So the 10th step is something you should be using throughout the day. Use it as many times you have to, because things of this world is going to come at you. We wake up peaceful and serene. But once we go out in this world and we got things of this world coming to us, things of this world is going to try us. But we need to steer clear of that, just like we're on an obstacle course. And the only way that we can still clear on that and stay on the path to our higher power is by using the 10th step. So my 11th step is used at night to do my daily reflection. Is there any 10 steps that I did not acknowledge, any situations I did not acknowledge, any resentments that I did not give away, any fears that I did not acknowledge, any harms that I did not. And if there's any harm that you did not give an amends to, you need to do that as soon as possible. You need to do that as soon as possible so that doesn't, so you don't hold on to that. So the 10th step, use that throughout the day. 11th step is your nightly inventory. That is your nightly inventory that you do, and that is what helps to continue to build the strength of your relationship with your higher power. And then in the morning, that's the second part of your 11th step, is you get up in the morning, and again, you do that. You do whatever ritual you like to do in the morning that reconnects you to your higher power and allows you to pause and allow your higher power to guide your thoughts and your actions so that you know what you have to do today. I was a person that thought that I had to do whatever I thought I had to do that day. And if I didn't get everything completed, I was angry with myself and I was disappointed. And my children and my husband felt that. Right now, if something doesn't get done, it wasn't meant for me to get done. My higher power did not intend for me to do that today, and that's okay. It'll get done another day.